ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सत्तां प्रसंगान् मम वीर्य संविधो भवन्ति हृत्कर्ण रसायना कथा तज्जोषनात् अश्वपवर्गवर्त्मनि श्रद्धारथिर्भक्तिरनुक्रमिष्यति सत्तां प्रसंगान् मम वीर्य संविधो भवन्ति हृत्कर्ण रसायना कथा तज्जोषनात् अश्वपवर्गवर्त्मनि श्रद्धारथिर्भक्तिरनुक्रमिष्यति Satam of pure devotees. Prasangat, through the association. Mama, my. Virya, wonderful activities. Samvidaha, by discussion of. Bhavanti, become, hrit, to the heart, karna, to the ear, rasa ayanaha, pleasing, katha, the stories, tat, of that, joshanat, by cultivation. Ashu, quickly. Appavarga, of liberation. Vartmani, on the path. Shraddha, firm faith. Rattihi, attraction. Bhaktihi, devotion. Anukramishyati, will follow in order. Translation, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then, real devotion and devotional service begin. Curious ending. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Generally, People are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Because they do not associate with devotees, they cannot understand that the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is a very difficult subject matter. And unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there's no meaning to devotion. Service or devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to associate, to seek the association of devotees, and by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path to liberation is open, and he is freed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed, and his attraction for association with the Lord and the devotees increases. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, and then being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. Every sentence is packed in this purport. Wonderful verse, very famous verse, expressing the value of Sadhu Sangha. It's part of the Sadhu Sangastaka set of verses in Lord Kapila's teachings to Devahuti. The title or the topic that I wanted to speak about this morning is through the association of our great acharyas in our line of disciplic succession, how through that association, how one can associate, and through that association, how does one develop always remembering Krishna and never forget Krishna. One can associate with a person best through sound vibration. Nice example is Judd Bharat, where the king, Ramugana, thought, based on external appearances and behaviors, that Judd Bharat was a dullard. And after he heard him speak, he got off his palanquin and fell at his feet, begged forgiveness and pleaded with him to enlighten him further in the ways of spiritual life from his sound vibration, from his speaking. So throughout the whole of, so many examples, but throughout the whole of the Bhagavatam, the importance of hearing, very carefully hearing proper sound vibrations from qualified persons, and therefore this verse begins, Satam. Satam, those who are attached or connected to Sat, Satam, of, and those persons, they're pure devotees, of Satam. prasangam, sangha, prasanga, through the association. As I was reading the verse this morning, I was appreciating and marveling at how similar this verse is to the verse that we discussed yesterday evening. I'll just remind you of what that verse was. It was about the recommendation of the sages who were instructing Maharaj Nimi in Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 30, of the importance of learning the art of hearing Krishna Katha. The word that they used was Bhagavat Yashaha. Bhagavat Yashaha. So Yashaha means glories. And so the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here it's Mama Virya, because instead of speaking third person, it's first person. This is Kapila Dev speaking, and rightfully so. Mama Virya, his glories, or his wonderful activities. Virya means strength. There's great potency in his wonderful activities. And hearing those Mama Virya or Bhagavat Yashaha, things happen. There's transformations through that sound vibration. And this word prasangam, satam prasangam, Mama Virya, samvidho. Prasangam is very similar to the word in the verse that we spoke about yesterday, paraspara. Paraspara. Was translated as mutual. So there's association. And in association, there's an exchange. Back and forth. Relationship or association or prasanga or paraspara. It's not one way. It's two way. And one is giving, another is receiving. When it's in the association of devotees who are peers, it's the subject and object, one who is speaking, one who is hearing, it vacillates or it goes back and forth, where one is hearing. Like the loving exchanges, guyam akyati prachchati. One discloses one's mind and confidence. And then one hears others disclose their mind and confidence. And this is loving exchange. So paraspara or prasanga. Specifically in this verse, the little distinction that's between yesterday's verse was this verse is speaking of Kapila Deva is advising Devahuti, there's sadhus, and then there's you, Devahuti. So you wish to become freed from material existence and become attached to the spiritual reality. It's through association with sadhus. And the verse yesterday was, whoever it is that has some liking or attraction or taste for hearing and chanting. You can hear and chant and similarly by association of like-minded souls. Similarly, the process also works because the principle is the same. It's hearing Krishna Katha. Now, I'm going to read the translation of text 26, the one that follows this one, and this leads to remembrance, because that's our theme, always remember Krishna. So through this satam prasangam mama virya samvidho comes, thus consciously engaged in devotional service in the association of devotees, a person gains, two things are mentioned, distaste for sense gratification, both in this world and the next, by constant hearing of the activities of the Lord. This process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power when one is actually situated on that path of devotional service. He is able to control the mind. What a relief. Control the mind. Because we all know what the rest of it's normally like. Mind controls us. Or in the verse that follows what we discussed yesterday evening, similarly, the devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead amongst themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of bhakti yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead. And thus, even within this world, their spiritual bodies exhibit symptoms, bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on end. Our eagerness should not be for our bodily hairs standing on end, or the external symptoms of what's going on internally. What the aspiration should be, what's going on internally. The cultivation of, because that's the cultivation of attraction and taste and attachment. That's this touch joshanad, means by cultivation. Do you remember hearing that word somewhere else in Prabhupada's teachings? I distinctly recall hearing it in the introduction to Nectar Devotion, where Prabhupada, in a certain section, he's explaining in very simple language the verse that's the essence verse of the whole Nectar of Devotion. Anyabhilasha tushunyam. You all know the verse. Jnana karma janavritam anukulyena krishnanushilana anushilana, by cultivation. Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is a sort of cultivation. So, like I mentioned last night, we're not the international society for introducing people to Krishna consciousness. That is, we introduce people to Krishna consciousness, and through this process, through the process of loving exchanges and loving relationships, and the essence of that loving relationship is becoming attached to Krishna, helping one another, whether speaking or hearing, or exchanging speaking and hearing, through sound vibration, through this mama virya, or bhagavat yashaha, or Krishna katha, through the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name, helping one another go toward Krishna. And the message that we just heard, when Krishna sees this desire and this cultivation, touch joshanad, from within the heart, the Krishna factor starts to happen. That is, vidhunoti surit satam. There's a nice verse in Canto 1, Chapter 2, similarly describing how this works. Yad anudya asina yukta karma granti nabantana chindanti kovidastasya ko na kuryat kata ratim. By constant remembrance, yad anudya, by, this is our theme for the weekend, anudya, by remembrance, always remembering, and it comes from the hearing of the topics, comes remembrance. And that remembrance acts as a sword, asina. And what does the sword do? Karma granti nibandhana. So that's what sadhu, Prabhupada has translated the meaning. It's one who cuts. But so one who cuts doesn't necessarily mean Jamuna Jiva, come over here so I can cut you. You're attached. Who else? Who's next? Who's left? Everyone's running the other way. So not just that kind of, you're in Maya Prabhu, not that kind of cutting, like, as in a cutting remark, or, you know, a heavy sadhu, look out, here comes the heavy Prabhu. But the other kind, or another kind, the sword of remembrance, if our association with one another can be where remembrance of Krishna through the very pleasing, attractive sound vibrations of Mama Virya, the glories of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavat Yashaha, his wonderful activities, if we can assist one another in that way, then the sword is put in your hand. It's Krishna's got the sword. And he sees that sincerity and he very kindly takes away. I'm going to read one more. I'm inspired by Dravida's association, thinking of different verses that express the same thing. There's a very beautiful, one of many very beautiful section of the Bhagavatam where prayers, Canto 10, Chapter 2, prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna in the womb. So Krishna's in the womb of Devaki. They come to offer Krishna prayers even before he's born, because they know Krishna's there and he's going to take birth soon. So, text number, there's two texts in a row. Text number 30, the translation reads, O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans, great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations very easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Hearing brings remembrance, or the word in this verse is samvidho. Vid means to know. And samvid means to know completely. But the translation that Prabhupada has given is, where is it? Oops. Yeah. By discussion of. Because what happens when you have discussion in the association of like-minded persons? You get some realization. Samvid. At least you come closer to. Some did. In steps, some realization, little incremental, little nice realizations, and you share. This is Guhyam Akyati Prajjati. You share your realizations with one another. Loving exchange. In relation to topics of Krishna. From this experience of participating in the... I felt like I've been on a weekend for 3 days already. And it's only Saturday. Only the weekend started. It's because it's full blast, full throttle, going for hearing and chanting all day long, and even if we're doing something else, it's hearing and chanting with other devotees, or, you know, what's your realization? How is your heart being moved by this? And sharing and sharing and elevating of one's Krishna consciousness, just in a very natural way. That's this asina, the sword that cuts the bondage, the granti, the knot, is the knot of attachment to fruitive activity. This isn't fruitive. We're not earning money. We're not getting paid. We're not. What's fruitive about chanting japa? There's nothing fruitive about chanting japa. That's one of the reasons why the mind has a problem, because we're trained up for, you know, win, succeed, achieve, get something, be successful. And where is that in japa? It's not fruitive. It's just associating with Krishna. You know, the mind is restless. It wants to go to something fruitive, get something done, achieve something, solve a problem, something. But staying with the process, touch Joshanad by Anushilana, by continually cultivating in the association of devotees this wonderful outcome. Now, the cleansing takes place. It works. The process works. Now, specifically, the topic that I want to address is this one, the association with our acharyas. We have one another's association, and one of the things that we can do in one another's association is appreciate the teachings of our acharyas. Certainly starting with our founder Acharya, and develop attachment for Prabhupada. But our disciplic line is filled with these awesome personalities. One of the things that during one of our yatras in I think it was Puri, somewhere. No, it was Mayapur. Some appreciation of wherever you go, our disciplic line, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they're up there. And so the recommendation I made was, think about, to cultivate the qualities that you would like to cultivate, or to become free from those qualities you'd like to become freed from. One recommendation in Ramanujacharya's teaching is develop affinity for some perfected soul. So I made that recommendation, and someone took it up seriously, and they chose Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And just reading the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, many, many different books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and attachment for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some appreciation of who he is, and remembering his teachings, and it becomes osmosis. It goes inside your heart. Grinanti, it enters your heart. It becomes, and there's a relationship. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is smiling, and he's picking you up, or any one of our acharyas. just appreciating, anyone you recently, just particularly appreciating Narottam Das Thakur. Amongst the three, there were students of Jiva Goswami, Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur. Who's the other one? Shyamananda. Take any one of them, and you can, you know, spend hours appreciating their glories. And Srinivasacharya, amongst the three, was respected by the others. But Narottam Das Thakur, just visiting Manipur, he changed the whole state, became a Krishna conscious state. And when so much influence was the king of Manipur and the line of kings following, that at Radhakund they have three temples. At Radhakund, just in Radhakund, just because the king of Manipur got a visit from Narottam Das Thakur. His life completely changed. And so on and so on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that the writings of Narottam Das Thakur, they're shastra. Why? Because everything they say is, it's just a beautiful expression of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And that's the teachings of the Bhagavatam. So sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur or Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Lochan Das Thakur, and you're in the spiritual world. You're in their association. And where are they? They're with Krishna through sound vibration. And then in assemblies of devotees or in association of devotees, take those messages and churn the topics together. Following that verse from the Prayers of the Demigods, text 30, I want to read the translation of 31. It's very nice. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which to cross, by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. So how do you associate with our departed acharyas? Get on the boat. The boat that they left behind, the very same boat that they used to cross the ocean of material existence, they left behind a means that you can cross. And that way you can associate with them by receiving the mercy that they wanted to give. And here it is. Here it is. Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the boat. That's the what Srila Prabhupada left behind. He knew he wasn't going to live indefinitely. He wasn't foolish. So much time, so much effort, so much giving of his transcendental realization in the form of his Bhaktivedanta purports, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and his other writings, so that after he's gone, we have the means to cross and join him and join Krishna and the other great personalities. So through our previous acharyas, in addition to the present Vaishnavas, through association with our great acharyas, one can have the means to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, join Krishna, joined these great acharyas through that great gift that they give in the form of transcendental sound vibrations, recorded in this form, recorded in some other form. It's a Prabhupada created the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust for that purpose. They have this wonderful treasured service of taking the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and making them available abundantly. Of course, it requires then the rest of ISKCON to distribute that. That's nice service, distribute that. In so many ways, in addition to the publications themselves, classes that help people understand the publications, like what we're doing. And hopefully inspire others to do the same on their own, time in the association of others, and create this loving network of loving relationships that's based on the very same process that Prabhupada gave and following the line of our predecessor acharyas gave. That's how we can please them. Exactly what is described in these purports. They become very pleased. And when they become very pleased, then these sequential things happen. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anu kramishyati. Even the sound of it is nice. Vartmani anu kramishyati. It's alliteration. It's poetry. Sanskrit poetry. Very beautiful. Just even to hear it. Even if you don't know what it means. What to speak if you know what it means. But so tajjoshanat, by this cultivation, ashu, very quickly, at once, tajjoshanat ashu, apavarga vartmani, the path of liberation is opened. In the purport it says the door is opened. And then shraddha, faith, rati, where is he? Not here. Loving attraction. Bhakti. That's the culmination. Shuddha bhakti. Anu kramishyati. Follows step. Anu krama is step. Anu kramishyati. Step by step. Just keep stepping. Just keep this nice association and become attached. The advice of Kapila Dev, become attached, not just hang out with, become attached to those personalities that want, that like, that relish this discussion of Krishna Katha. And by that, you become attached to Krishna. Because association with, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, association with devotees is association with Krishna. Or attachment to devotees, such devotees, is attachment to Krishna. So many nice points. And one other just mention and we'll stop. The last line of the entire purport. The devotee who makes this association, this one, satam prasangam mamavirya sambhito, etc., develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord. You may remember that the evening before, losing track of time. That little description of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, not Rupa Goswami, about the stages of bhakti. And when there is some fortunate person, their heart is moved by that sound vibration they hear from a devotee, Prabhupada wrote, that one gets a taste. And this taste is a seed. And the seed is to be sown in the heart and continue to be nurtured by the process of hearing and chanting. That's this tajjoshanut. But what's this taste? The taste is just exactly what Prabhupada is saying here. The consciousness of rendering service to the Lord. Because we're forgetful. We're too much forgetful. Even, you know, try to be nice. Don't hurt anybody, that kind of thing. That's not transcendental. Transcendental is this taste. I want to be always in remembrance of, connected to the personality of Godhead. A taste for that devotional service. And taste for devotional service is not just, I like to do some service, but the essence of that service is, the real fruit of it is, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. A taste, an attraction for hearing and chanting. So I do my service, that's hearing and chanting, and associating with those that like to hear and chant, and continue doing so many services, hearing and chanting and developing further this attraction. So the devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, and then being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. Or as he said in the verse, and then devotional service and real devotion begin. Like, what are we doing now? Is it devotional service that we're doing? Because I'm, you know, who's at this stage? Who wants to volunteer? I have no attraction for anything but one thing. Hearing and chanting. The there are statements like that in the Bhagavatam that can be very puzzling. I found myself puzzling many times over. And then devotional service begins. But it has to do with one way of looking at devotional service, which is, it's pure, it's untainted, there's no karma and no gyan. It's not just the cultivation. So Rupa Goswami, as the follower of Lord Chaitanya and presenting his teachings, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. And Rupa Goswami is also very merciful. They take us by the hand and spoon feed us. Because, you know, we don't know how to swallow. We don't know how to chew. We don't know how to behave. They make it really easy. And if we just cultivate the teachings that Rupa Goswami is giving, receive the mercy that Rupa Goswami is giving, even if it's just the sadhana stage, by their adherence to their instructions, sadhana bhakti, and bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti, they're all the topics of Rupa Goswami's nectar devotion. It's bhaktir uttama, sadhana bhakti, following Rupa Goswami is part of uttam bhakti. It's not the mature stage yet, but become attached to Rupa Goswami, be a Rupa Anuga, and follow very nicely, and that mature stage will come. Just like a nice little example is a little Tulsi. Sorry. Multiple choice question. Which is a Tulsi? A, the seed. B, the little sprout that comes. C, when it becomes many leaves. D, when it produces manjaris. Or whatever the next one is. E, all of the above. It's all of the above. Tulsi, 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 just different stages of maturity. So that's Rupa Goswami's munificence, or Lord Chaitanya's munificence expressed by Rupa Goswami. Cultivate. I may be here, the goal is there, that's okay. Fix your mind on the goal and follow the process as guided by Rupa Goswami and the followers of Rupa Goswami, and that counts. That's real devotional service begins way over there. Another way of looking at it is what's, and then devotional service begins. The stage where it's squeaky clean. There's no karma and gyan. There's no contact with the modes of nature. There's no selfishness. There's no holding on to my contaminations. It's letting go of my contaminations. A total change of perspective. Generally, it's gradual. So even if it's gradual, getting to that stage, that's devotional service. That's the real devotion is unmixed. Because devotion, bhakti, is pure. Because Krishna is pure. And that which contacts Krishna can't be impure. That it becomes pure. So another way of seeing things. We want to get to where there's unmixed devotion or real devotion. At least we should be aspiring like that. Nivritti. Diminishing one's material involvement and increasing spiritual contact. That's the path of bhakti. And that's the message of Bhagavatam. Okay, I'm going to end there. See if there's some discussion. Donna Kelly had her hand up first. At least I saw her hand first. Different strokes for different folks. Different personalities have convictions, and based upon those convictions, they execute their devotional service. As far as the balance is concerned, leaving aside, if it falls off the pan scale, if there isn't, as you said, for some reason, some affinity for the present personalities, because Prabhupada's phrase, current link, must be there. Otherwise, for example, how am I going to get guidance when it comes to a fork in the road? Or I may be heading off the road. And how I need someone that's going to say, you're heading off the road. You need to get back towards the middle. There's the middle. There's the ditch. And get more to the middle. No, I'm following. Don't worry about me. So, minimally, affinity for present acharyas must be there. Present personalities. If you don't word the word acharyas. Present personalities who I accept guidance from, and those persons are in this proper disciplic succession method, and specific to followers of Srila Prabhupada, or to ISKCON, members of ISKCON, followers of Srila Prabhupada, and those that are strict followers of Srila Prabhupada. at least for ISKCON, because there's Krishna consciousness or there's devotion to Krishna outside of ISKCON. But within ISKCON, we choose ISKCON for many reasons, and there must be some link, present link, minimally. Now with that, then some, as you put, some may lean this way, some may lean that way. And that's, you know, variety is nice. But the something that, two somethings, something that I've appreciated from my readings of previous acharyas is it's strengthened my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada and the fidelity of Srila Prabhupada with the previous acharyas, as well as how he made it so accessible, so simple. I also appreciate the detail that sometimes Prabhupada would not present, but would give the essence rather than the detail. But my appreciation for Prabhupada has grown through that. However, I, on the other hand, I recommend for those that are, before going into much reading of others, acharyas, our previous acharyas, become very familiar with Prabhupada's life and Prabhupada's teachings before going there. Before, you know, investing lots of time and energy there. Because without that, then, you know, same thing as I said before, where's the guidance? How my appreciation for Prabhupada will not necessarily grow if I don't know what our founder Acharya, how he expressed things, and to compare, look at what Prabhupada's writings through the light of our previous acharyas and appreciate, wow, it's the same thing. The language is different, the way of saying may be different, but the essence is the same thing. It's transparent. So, those are some thoughts. You have some thoughts you want to share on the topic? It's your questions. You have some thoughts, I'm sure.
Well, I guess what brought that out of me was because recently I met an initiated devotee who they didn't even know what year Prabhupada passed away in.
Didn't know?
What year Prabhupada passed away in.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about the struggles of their life. And I said, and they were asking, how can I, you know, deal with these struggles, tolerate them, be patient, have faith in Krishna. And I said, well, when I knew, you know, meditate on all the struggles Prabhupada went through and see how your struggles are minuscule compared to Prabhupada's. They had no idea actually what Prabhupada went through to come to America and bring Krishna consciousness. So sometimes I just feel like somehow Krishna's arranged that I have met quite a few devotees who, I don't know how to say this, I don't want to sound offensive or something, but I feel like they're so absorbed in the here and now devotees that they're even oblivious to, you know, Prabhupada's, you know, glorious in lifetime. Sometimes I think it should be a requirement that devotees should be studying Leela Amrita and get a little more Prabhupada conscious.
I can amplify that. In our strategic planning work in the global GBC, one of the pieces of that strategic planning is parallel lines of authority. You've heard that phrase. So I don't know what exactly prompted it, but someone did a little survey of the present initiating spiritual masters within ISKCON and their websites, and how prominent, how prevalent, how accessible, how clear is it that, oh, I now remember what it was, is Prabhupada. And much to the dismay of different persons that were conducting this little survey. Very few have a prominent position of Prabhupada on their webpage. Now the webpage is their webpage, but and many persons don't even, they didn't create it, they didn't direct what would go there, someone else did it, but someone else that did it, but, you know, where's Prabhupada? And so that's not good. And go out over time, it's more so. Somebody patted me on the back for, you know, there's Prabhupada right at the top. And I didn't say to somebody, put Prabhupada at the top. Somebody did it. And then you click and you get the bio of Srila Prabhupada's life and the struggles he went through and what he did. It's important. That's what is prompting the question. So support it. But you're not the only one thinking that way. We need to address this. Jai Jagannath over here.
Maharaj, another term that's broader means is this light family association. When we first come to the association of devotees, we read that like-minded association is then associated with devotees. And as we start associating with devotees all the time, we start to recognize very different moves and so on. And like-minded association kind of takes a little twist. Or it may take a little twist in our mind. What does it exactly mean, like-minded association?
Thank you. My understanding and appreciation is attraction for Krishna. And there are different types of attraction for Krishna. And it's not only important, it's imperative to be able to appreciate diversity. Just see how wonderful is God's creation, how much diversity there is. And amongst devotees, how much diversity there is. So like-minded is attraction for Krishna. Just like how this is organized, as an example. There's children. So something is going on with children. Someone is, or whatever, in rotation, some number of persons, because, you know, they can't pay attention to this stuff. So their like-mindedness isn't this. I saw one, I won't mention which child, I saw one child out in the foyer yesterday morning and said, "Where's your beads?" And he looked at me and he said, "I left them home." I said, "Would you like some other beads or do you want to play?" He said, "I want to play." Okay, at least you're honest. And then later his mother sat him down and gave him some beads. He then got restless and got up again and started playing. But and some like kirtan and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But so a variety of presenters and forums, and because there's, but the overall is that like-mindedness is the attraction for the personality of Godhead and topics in relation to Him, different ways of presenting it. That's, and it was one event or one kind of sangha is not necessarily that all encompassing. This is it. There's variety, but the essence is the like-mindedness. Do you have something more on this?
Yes, a follow-up question. In terms of our
let's say more intimate association, although we have a general appreciation that all are having attraction to Krishna, it seems kind of natural that...
Of course. When you sit down and have kirtan, not everybody's sitting down and having kirtan with you. So it's natural that some will have that kind of, etc. Some are in the pujarium talking about the next festival and decoration of the deity. And there's, you know, some are down in the kitchen thinking how to make nice prasadam for the devotees. And some are over there planning the next festival. And, you know, there's different how to serve Krishna Vikings. And that's fine. Natural. But let us not forget the other kind of like-mindedness, where it's not just groupism, it's diversity of like-mindedness. Groupism can be very debilitating. Very debilitating. You know, without going into it, someone can be, you know, we have to go on Harinam. And they're a Harinam fanatic. And then there's over there someone, you know, some other fanatic. And it's debilitating. It's not mature. It's nice to have a particular liking and encourage that particular liking. And but it's nice to have maturity too and appreciate there's different likings. It's really important for our own Krishna consciousness and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Dravidi, you want to contribute something here?
Hare Krishna. These would be Donna Kelly's comment. Can I mention
sure.
About that? I think you can bring this in also. One of the things that I've noticed, you know, over the years, I think you can't miss it, is that there's a tendency, and I think it's natural by the nature of the way that the society exists and the nature of bhakti, that one, there's a certain tendency of the society that we have to be a centripetal force. In other words, there's certain nodes of influence that develop naturally. People come up who are more influential, and that's where people get their inspiration from immediately. And it's a struggle, although it's an essential struggle, to, as we say, it becomes like a cliche, but it's a very deep thought to keep Prabhupada in the center. And so much of that really has to do with keeping Prabhupada's words in the center, and Prabhupada's structure, and I don't just mean the buildings, I mean, for instance, the morning program. I've seen, and we've all seen, that, you know, that's one of the first things to go. If you start spreading your attention in so many different books and so many different acharyas, not that it's wrong to read Bhaktivinoda Thakur and get all these things, but one begins to see Prabhupada's structure in a different way, and that you don't need that. We don't need Mangalartik anymore. You know, we're chanting 64 rounds. We don't need Mangalartik anymore. Well, immediately, that's not ISKCON anymore. You know what I mean? In other words, for there to be an institution which can be effective in working together, where we can work together in spreading Krishna consciousness, we need to adhere and you to Prabhupada's basic program, what to speak of his books and his ideas. It doesn't mean that we can't look at these things, but as you say, it has to be done in a proper way after first being saturated and steeped in Prabhupada's katha, Prabhupada's mood and all these different things. So that's a constant struggle, and it will remain a constant struggle. If we want to keep the institution together and effective as a preaching tool, which of course is what Prabhupada wanted more than anything, that things would go on. And you know, as you mentioned the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust and you know, book distribution. Well, book distribution means, you know, centrally, Prabhupada's book distribution. And for that to go on, devotees need to be inspired by those books. They need to read those books. They have to feel that those books are the central inspiration, you know, intellectual inspiration in their devotional service. And so that will remain a task that we have to pass on to the next generation. To keep Prabhupada's mood and Prabhupada's way of doing things in institutions, books, are central, so that things don't fly apart and they just develop, you know, we become a loose federation, looser and looser federation rather than a united society. And of course, the GBC and those who are struggling to have a unified guidance and authority is an essential part of that. And I know, as you very well, the succession. Succession, how is it going to, you know, pass on this GBC authority to the next generation? That is a major consideration. So that's some of my thoughts, and I think Donna Kelly's comment was telling. Someone is in this movement and they don't know Prabhupada's life even well enough to know, you know, when he disappeared.
Huh? Initiated devotee.
Initiated devotee. That's a symptom of, I think, you know, not a good symptom.
Not a good symptom.
That's not a good symptom.
Okay.
This is a sidelight, if I could.
At least one other thing.
Sometimes, you know, my ears aren't what they were. You know, everybody's body degrades at a certain level. So when she was talking about balance, I heard valence. And I was thinking, valence, that's an interesting word. And I have this little thing where I have a dictionary on here, you know. And I looked up the word valence. I said, is that what she had in mind? I said, no, that was balance. But valence is a great word for us. The third definition. Think of this. The capacity of one person or thing to react with or affect another in some special way, as by attraction or the facilitation of a function or activity. This is like, you know, what we're looking for are the sadhus who can have the valence to affect us in a positive way. I mean, it may not be a word that we use all the time, but I think I'm going to use it.
One of the nice features of Buddy Narayan's association is his vocabulary is fantastic. He always comes up with words in the middle of a conversation that, what was that? And your whiplash. And yes, true. There was one high school student somewhere that was not doing so well with their vocabulary. So I gave them a summer assignment of reading some assigned material by Rabindra Sarup Prabhu. To increase their vocabulary. And, you know, reading Krishna conscious literature. So I want to just, as I was speaking in response to Jai Jagannath's question about like-mindedness and there are different attractions and likings in our realm of devotional service. Some like reading, some like chanting, some like book distribution, some like Harinam, some like deity worship, some like different things. But there's one thing, well, in addition to chanting, there's one thing that maybe even more than chanting we all like. Prasadam. And how's the prasadam been? We invited the cook who has been toiling for a number of days and a couple more days to go, Vishwakarma Prabhu, who's been serving as the head of the kitchen for practically almost as long as I've been here. Almost. I was here before you. But through Bhima Prabhu's kindness, Vishwakarma came to serve in ISKCON Chicago. And every now and then we get him to come and dress the deity. And when he dresses the deity, it's as knockout as his prasadam. But a quiet, humble, shy a little bit. He gets, lets people know what he wants in the kitchen, but shy a little bit. A personality that's a pillar of our ISKCON Chicago temple. So I don't know if he knew we were going to embarrass him like this, but he's seated over here by the door with his nice golden hat on. those of you that have helped in the kitchen, you know who Vishwakarma is, and the rest of us, just by taking prasadam, we know who Vishwakarma is. And his family have been serving ISKCON Chicago for many years now. Very much appreciated service, Vishwakarma. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.